Next, we become committed to the seeming truth of the concreteness of objects, thinking, if this is not true, what could possibly be true? As we do so, our ignorant misapprehension gets stronger. For instance, when we first encounter something or someone nice, we briefly take notice of the object of our attention, merely recognizing its presence. The mind at this point is pretty much neutral. But when circumstances cause us to pay more attention to the object, it appears to be attractive in a way that is integral to the object. When the mind adheres to the object this way, thinking that it exists in the way it appears, lust for the object and hatred for what interferes with getting it can set in. When our own self is involved, we emphasize that connection. Now it is my body, my stuff, my friends, or my car. We exaggerate the object's attractiveness, obscuring its faults and disadvantages, and become attached to it as helpful in acquiring pleasure, whereby we are forcibly led into lust, as if by a ring in our nose. We might also exaggerate the object's unattractiveness, making something minor into a big defect, ignoring its better qualities. And now we view the object as interfering with our pleasure, being led into hatred, again, as if by a ring in our nose. Even if the object does not seem to be either agreeable or disagreeable, but just an ordinary thing in the middle, ignorance continues to prevail, although in this case it does not generate desire and hatred. As the Indian scholar yogi Nagarjuna says in his 60 stanzas of reasoning, how could great, poisonous, afflictive emotions not arise in those whose minds are based on inherent existence? Even when an object is ordinary, their minds are grasped by the snake of destructive emotions. Cruder conceptions of I and mine evoke grosser destructive emotions, such as arrogance and belligerence, making trouble for yourself, your community, and even your nation. These misconceptions need to be identified by watching your own mind.